Hello, my name is Mahendra Gupte. We're looking at Chapter 9, Negotiable Instruments Act. Before we get into understanding the Act and the rules regulations, let's understand what is negotiable instruments. Negotiable instruments includes promissory notes, bills of exchange, and checks. What does a negotiable instrument do? A negotiable instrument guarantees payment on demand or at a set time with an identified payer. The Negotiable Instruments Act of 1881 excludes hundis. Negotiable instruments are what is all is covered under negotiable instruments. Electronic payments, NEFT and RTGS are under the Payment and Settlement Systems Act 2007. Negotiable Instruments Act 1881, effective nationwide from 1st March 1881. RBI Act 1934, Section 31, only RBI or central government can issue promissory notes, payable on demand or later. Section 32, unauthorized issuance is punishable by a fine up to the instrument's value. Let's understand that electronic payments, NEFT and RTGS that we normally use for online or net banking are under the Payment and Settlement System Act of 2007. The Negotiable Instruments Act was effective 1st March 1881. The RBI Act of 1934, Section 31 says that only RBI or central government can issue promissory notes, payable on demand or later. Normally, promissory notes in this context is currency notes that are issued. Section 32, unauthorized issuance is punishable by a fine up to the instrument's value. That means if you have a false note or a fake note, then your punishable fine is up to the instrument's value. The word instrument refers to a written document which creates a right in favor of an individual. The word negotiable indicates transferable from one person to another in exchange for payment. Any document that confers ownership of money and can be transferred by delivery is a negotiable instrument. Section 13 defines it as a promissory note, bill of exchange, or check payable to order or bearer. Let's understand it in detail again. The word instrument refers to a written document which creates a right in favor of an individual, which means that you write on paper that you are supposed to pay somebody some money, or you are paying him money immediately or at a certain date. The word negotiable indicates transferable from one person to another in exchange for payment. When document that confers ownership of money and can be transferred by delivery is a negotiable instrument. Now, how does this work out? You are the owner of the money that you write on the check, but the check you are giving to somebody else. That means you are giving a document. And what are you trying to do? You are transferring the ownership of that amount which is on that check to somebody else. Hence, a check is an example of a negotiable instrument. Section 13 defines it as a promissory note, bill of exchange, or check payable to order or bearer. To order is usually goes into an account, or bearer goes as cash. Features of negotiable instruments: written, transferable by delivery or endorsement. Holder can sue on it. Presumed to have valuable consideration. Acts like money, ideal for debt payment. So all negotiable instruments must be written, transferable by delivery or endorsement, which means if you put up somebody's name on a check, then the money is transferable to that person by your endorsement because you are signing that check. Holder can sue on it, which means that somebody who holds that document or that negotiable instrument, that is the check, can sue you on it if the institution refuses to encash it because of lack of funds or any other reason. Presumed to have valuable consideration. It is definitely presumed to have consideration or a value. Now that value is relative. It's something of an amount, let's say 5,000, could be extremely valuable to somebody, but may not be of so great value to a millionaire or a billionaire. Acts like money. It works like money. It is for in exchange of money also that it can be used. That is, many a times we do not have cash in hand, so we offer people check as payment. Ideal for debt payment. It is the best thing to pay or clear off all your debts. Types of negotiable instruments. Commercial bill. Drawn for goods delivered, accepted by banks as commercial bills. Promissory note. A document agreeing to repay borrowed money used by large companies and banks. Types of negotiable instruments. Commercial bill. A commercial bill is drawn for goods delivered and accepted by banks as commercial bills. So let's say you are receiving a consignment and the mode of payment is through a letter of credit or a cash against documents. Now you will sign a commercial bill at the bank which will transfer the money from your account to the in favor of the bank, and the bank would then in turn forward it to your buyer, to your seller. That is a commercial bill. Promissory note. Now we are looking at not currency notes but actual promissory notes, or document agreeing to repay borrowed money used by large companies and banks. So when you go into a bank and sign and look for a loan, after your loan has been sanctioned and the money is yet to be transferred, before the transfer they will ask you to sign a promissory note. That note is where you agree to pay, to repay back the bank the borrowed money. A check orders bank to pay a specified amount from the issuer's account. Commercial paper, short term promissory note, maturity 1 week to 1 year. Treasury bills or T-bills, short term government borrowing issued at a discount by RBI. Bank draft, bank order to pay a specified amount for a nominal fee. Let's understand other negotiable instruments. A check, the check that you and I write from our bank account transferring some money or paying some money to an individual or to a company is nothing else but a negotiable instrument. It is defined as you are ordering the bank to pay a specified amount from your account to the bearer of that check. Commercial paper. Commercial paper is nothing else but a short-term promissory note. Maturity is 1 week to 1 year. So which means that let's say you have borrowed some money from a friend of yours, and then the document that you would sign as a guarantee or as a security for him would be a commercial paper where you have decided that you will repay back that loan in a period of 1 week to 1 year. The validity of a commercial paper is max up to 1 year. Treasury bills or T-bills, short-term government borrowing issued at a discount by RBI. Normally these documents would not come to us and no individuals would be involved. It would be the bank, RBI and the government. Of course, big companies or investors in big projects would be involved. Bank draft, bank order to pay a specified amount for a nominal fee. Now, many at times, many institutions or many companies will not honor personal checks. Now, in this case, the reason is that going after or trying to hold the issuer, a personal issuer, responsible for payment is a long-drawn process and requires court procedures. To shortcut this or to overcome this issue or this risk, what companies do is they demand a bank order or a banker's check or a banker's draft. Now this, what happens here is you, if you are the payee, then you need to go to your bank, tell them to make a bank order or a bank draft, which it means nothing, but you pay the amount to the bank. That is, the bank will take away the amount you want to pay to your customer or supplier and create a check, which is a banker's check or a bank draft. Now this document, when given to the receiver, he is assured that this, when encashed, will get him the full amount. But to do this service, the bank charges you a certain fee, which is nominal in nature. Non-transferable securities cannot be sold or transferred to another party and can only be redeemed by the owner. Instruments without consideration. Under the Negotiable Instruments Act, Section 58, protects those who acquire instruments in good faith for valuable consideration. An instrument with a defective title can only be claimed by a holder in due course who receives a title fee free from defects. Let's understand this. Non-transferable securities cannot be sold or transferred to another party and can only be redeemed by the owner. An example of this is the bank draft that you made on the name of a company or an individual. In this case, they are non-transferable securities. They will be only redeemed. The cash will only go to that party's account. It will not go to anybody else, and they cannot offer that check further to somebody else. Instruments without consideration. Under the Negotiable Instruments Act, Section 58, protects those who acquire instruments in good faith for valuable consideration. That means the receiver is the acquirer. He is protected because he has accepted that document or that negotiable instrument in good faith and has a valuable consideration. An instrument with a defective title can only be claimed by a holder in due course who receives a title free from defects, which means that if an instrument is found to be of defective title, that means, let's say you have created an instrument to advising somebody to be paid, and then you don't have that money with you, that becomes a defective title, can only be claimed by a holder. That means only to whom you write this check or this document, only he can go and encash it or can claim the amount, but only after he confirms that the title is free from defects. That means that you have the cash to go so that he is able to go and encash it. Negotiable instruments. Let's see what happens to lost instruments. The finder gains no title. The owner can recover it and demand payment from the acceptor. Owner can get a duplicate from the drawer and sue if refused. First, before we get into the details, let's understand who is the owner and who is the drawer. The drawer is the person who generates the negotiable instrument. The owner is the person to whom it is addressed to, because it is in his favor. So he is known as the owner or the holder. The finder gains no title. The owner can recover it and demand payment from the acceptor. So let's say somebody found this, and this instrument was encashed by some way or some means. Now in this case, the owner, that is the person to whom the actual instrument was addressed, can recover it and demand payment from the acceptor. That means whoever finally received the money, he can be held responsible to give back that payment, return that payment. Owner can get a duplicate from the drawer and sue if refused. So if the owner has lost this document, he can demand a duplicate from the drawer and he can sue the drawer if he refuses. What happens to stolen instruments? A thief gains no title. The owner can sue for recovery. Let's say you have handed over this instrument to the person who is supposed to encash it. However, before he goes to the bank or any other institution for encashing, it is lost, or it is stolen. If it is stolen and the thief tries to go and gain title or try and encash it, he will not get any payment. However, the owner can sue for recovery, which means in case by mistake or by oversight or by some fraud means, the thief gets hold of the money, gets the title, the owner can definitely sue him for recovery. For bearer instruments, the owner must suffer. So what happens here is a check was addressed by you to a third party. The third party had a theft in their premises and lost that check. The check was stolen. In this case, if that check is encashed, then because it's a bearer check, so there may be a name, but it says or bearer, which means that the person who is holding that check will have to be entertained as the owner and will have to be paid. In this case, the owner, that is the actual original person who is supposed to receive the money, will have to suffer. Negotiable instruments must have free consent. Fraud makes the contract voidable, but a holder in due course is protected. Negotiable instruments must have free consent, which means that the person who is generating it, that is the drawer, has to sign that instrument free of any force or any coercion. Fraud makes the contract voidable. If there is any fraud made by the holder or the owner, then the contract is voidable. But a holder in due course is protected. So in due course, the holder or the owner will be protected because finally he has to receive the original amount at least. Forged instrument. Forgery grants no title. A holder of a forged instrument acquires no rights. A forged instrument is treated as non-existent in the eyes of the law. If there has been a forgery in creating the instrument or after the instrument was created, in terms of signatures or whatever, or a change in the amounts, change in the consideration, then it becomes a forged instrument. Forgery grants no title. Then a holder of a forged instrument acquires no rights. That means, in spite of his name being on the document, the person who's actually the owner or the holder of that forged instrument acquires no rights or no title. A forged instrument is treated as non-existent in the eyes of the law. The law just does not recognize a forged instrument. Forged endorsement. If an instrument is fully endorsed, it can only be negotiated by the endorsee's signature. A forged endorsement transfers no title, but in the case of a bearer instrument or blank endorsement, the holder obtains a good title through delivery. Bankers are protected against forged endorsements under Section 85. Let's understand what happens under a forged endorsement. Now, what is an endorsement? An endorsement is where you put some instructions, that means complete endorsement, and you put your signature. Or a blank endorsement, that means no instructions are put there, but you have signed it. That becomes a blank endorsement. If an instrument is fully endorsed, that means you have put all the names or conditions and everything and signed it, it can only be negotiated by the endorsee's signature, which means that whoever to whom you have endorsed this, the endorsee, that is the receiver, only if he signs, then the document can be endorsed, can be encashed. A forged endorsement transfers no title. But in the case of a bearer instrument or blank endorsement, the holder obtains a good title through delivery. Let's understand this a little better. A forged endorsement transfers no title, which means that if there has been a forgery in the endorsement, then there is no transfer of title. But in the case of a bearer instrument or blank endorsement, a blank endorsement is equal to a bearer instrument, which means you are saying that the bearer or whoever it implies that with a blank endorsement, that the holder of that instrument is the bearer. The holder obtains a good title through delivery, which means that if he goes and presents that document to the bank or to the institution where he is supposed to encash it, he gets a good title. Bankers, however, are protected against forged endorsements under Section 85. So, which means that it is not the banker's responsibility to find out and check whether the endorsement is a forged one or a real one. They are protected under Section 85 of the Negotiable Instruments Act. Key features of negotiable instruments. The key features of the Negotiable Instruments Act of 1881 are reflected in the negotiable instruments it covers. Promissory note, section 4. Section 4 defines a negotiable instrument as a written signed document with an unconditional promise to pay a specific amount to a designated person, their direction, or the bearer. Let's understand this. Key features of negotiable instruments. The key features are as per each different negotiable instrument. Now, promissory notes are covered under section 4. What does the section 4 say? Section 4 defines a negotiable instrument as a written signed document with an unconditional promise. That means the promissory note is a negotiable instrument as a written signed document with an unconditional promise to pay a specific amount to a designated person, their direction or the bearer. So, while it could be a designated person, it could be also their representative or the bearer who holds that negotiable instrument, which is the promissory note. A bill of exchange, section 5 covers a bill of exchange, involves three parties, drawer, drawee and payee. Must be written, stamped and accepted by the drawee with an unconditional order to pay a specific sum to a specified party. Check, section 6, a check involves the drawer, drawee bank and payee. It must be written, signed, dated and payable on demand. If the amount differs in figures and words, the amount in words prevails as per section 18. An electronic image replaces physical movement during clearance. Further, going into negotiable instruments, and let us see what are the acts and how the sections are covering them. Bill of exchange is covered under section 5. A bill of exchange involves three parties. The drawer, that means the person who made it, the drawee, that means the institution or the bank or whoever is the person who is supposed to make the payment, and payee is the person who is supposed to receive the payment. It must be written, stamped and accepted by the drawee. That means that it should be a valid document acceptable to the bank or to the financial institution with an unconditional order to pay a specific amount to a specified party. The specified party is the payee. Check, which is covered under section 6. A check involves the drawer, the drawee bank and the payee. It must be written, of course, a check must be written, signed, dated and payable on demand, which means that either you put a date, let's say 2 or 3 days later, then the check can be encashed after that date, but within a validity of maybe 6 months or 3 months after that date. However, what happens here? It must be written, signed, dated and payable on demand. If the amount differs by any chance, by overwriting or by oversight, if the amount you put in words and figures is different, then the amount which is written in words prevails as per section 18. And for electronic images, electronic clearance, an electronic image is used instead of the actual physical movement of the check. Negotiation and assignment, section 14. A negotiable instrument, NI, is considered negotiated when transferred to another person, making them the holder. Negotiation requires two conditions. The instrument must be transferred and the transfer must intend to pass title. Modes of negotiation. Negotiation by delivery. A negotiable instrument payable to bearer may be negotiated by delivery. What does negotiation and assignment mean? Under section 14, a negotiable instrument is considered negotiated when transferred to another person, making them the holder. That means that it has got encashed. So now the money that was in your account is being held, or the ownership has transferred to the holder. That means the person to whom you transferred it. Negotiation requires two conditions. The instrument must be transferred. That means you have to have somebody else's name and you should be signing it free consent. The second, and the transfer must intend to pass title. That means that you are offering it to that person with the intention of transferring the title of the amount or the goods or whatever is the contents of the negotiable instrument. Modes of negotiation. Negotiation by delivery. Under section 47, a negotiable instrument payable to bearer may be negotiated by delivery, which means by handing it over to him and he goes and encashes it in the bank. Negotiation by endorsement and delivery. On section 48, a negotiable instrument to order is negotiated by endorsement and delivery. All payees must endorse for the transferee to become the holder. Assignment. Bills, notes and checks are assignable without endorsement. Transfer by assignment allows the assignee to recover the amount from the parties and is recognized by the Act. This is the second way that the documents can be negotiated. Negotiation by endorsement and delivery. Section 48 says, a negotiable instrument is payable to the order is negotiated by endorsement and delivery. That means that you must sign it and should be handed over for as a delivery. All payees must endorse for the transferee to become the holder. That means if you are giving a check which has got three joint holders and the condition with your bank or with your institution is that all three must sign, then unless the three people sign and or endorse the negotiable instrument, the holder cannot be transferred the ownership or the title. Assignment. Bills, notes and checks are assignable without endorsement. That means that the ownership can be assigned to somebody else without actual endorsement in terms of writing any instructions. Transfer by assignment allows the assignee to recover the amount from the parties and is recognized by the Act. So if you have transferred this but there is no signature, but there has been just a delivery or rather an assignment, then the assignee, that is the receiver, can recover the amounts from the parties because it is not endorsed, it may not be encashable, but he is found to be the rightful owner and he can go back and recover the amount from the parties who were supposed to endorse the negotiable instrument. This is recognized by the Negotiable Instruments Act. Negotiation and assignment distinguished. The various points of distinction between negotiation and assignment are as below. Negotiation needs delivery to constitute a transfer, and assignment needs a written document signed by transferor. Consideration is presumed in the case of transfer by negotiation. In assignment, consideration must be proved. In negotiation, notice of transfer is not necessary, but in assignment, notice of the transfer must be given by the assignee to the debtor. The various points of distinction between negotiation and assignment are as below. Let's understand the difference between what happens under negotiation and what happens under assignment. Negotiation needs delivery to constitute a transfer, which means unless there is a document handed over to the receiver, there is no transfer. And assignment needs a written document signed by the transferor. That means you must sign a document which assigns the person or the other party of the ownership or the title of the goods. Consideration is presumed in the case of transfer by negotiation. So which means that if it is a negotiable instrument and it is being negotiated, then the transfer by negotiation is an acceptance of the fact that there is a consideration. In assignment, consideration must be proved. That means you need to definitely indicate what is the consideration. In negotiation, what is the purpose and what is the amount that you are want consideration to be considered at. In negotiation, notice of transfer is not necessary, but in assignment, notice of the transfer must be given by the assignee to the debtor. That means that in negotiation, the notice of transfer is not necessary. The negotiable instrument itself becomes a transfer of title. However, for assignment, the notice of the transfer must be given by the assignee to the debtor. That means the person who is going to receive the goods, receive the amount, has to give back a notice to the debtor that this is what you are supposed to pay. The assignee takes the instrument subject to all the defects in the title of the transferor, and if the assigner's title was defective, the title of the assignee is defective. In recognition, in negotiation, the transferee takes the instrument free from all the defects in the title of the transferor. In case of negotiation, a transferee can sue the third party in his own name, but an assignee cannot do so. Let's understand the other conditions. The assignee takes the instrument subject to all the defects in the title of the transferor. And if the assignee's title was assigner's title was defective, the title of the assignee is defective. What does this mean? This means that while the assignee accepts the instrument subject to all the defects in the title, that means he knows that the assigner is not the owner or has no clear title, but he accepts that. Now, in this case, if the assigner's title was defective, the title of the assignee is also defective. That means if the assigner's title is not clear, so is the assignee's title. In a negotiation, however, the transferee takes the instrument free from all the defects in the title of the transferor. So you will not accept, if you are going to receive, you are the receiver of a negotiable instrument, you will not accept it unless you are aware that there is a clear title of the transferor. In case of negotiation, a transferee can sue the third party in his own name. So, a negotiation, there is a direct transferee who is there and he can sue the third party in his own name, but an assignee cannot do so. Delivery. Section 46 covers delivery. A negotiable instrument is valid only upon delivery to the correct person. Endorsement. Endorsement is writing one's name on the instrument to transfer rights. The person making it is the endorser and the recipient is the endorsee. Let's understand endorsement and delivery. Delivery can happens under Section 46 through endorsement. A negotiable instrument is valid only upon delivery to the correct person. So Section 46 says that you cannot deliver the instrument to a wrong person. It has to be delivered to the correct person. Only then can it be considered as a delivery. The second part of endorsement. Endorsement is writing one's name on the instrument to transfer rights. The person making it is the endorser. That means the person who signs and wants to transfer rights is the endorser, and the recipient is the endorsee. So which means the endorser will first hand over his rights on as written on the instrument of negotiable instrument, and they will be transferred to the endorsee. Now this can be, the negotiable instrument is said to be complete if the endorsee signs and accepts this transfer. The endorsement of negotiable instruments. The following are the essentials of a valid endorsement. Must be signed on the instrument or an attached paper. Full name or thumb impression required. Blank endorsements transfer to bearer. Full endorsements specify the transferee. Must cover the entire instrument. Conditional delivery completes it. Endorsement of negotiable instruments. The following are the essentials of a valid instrument. Endorsement. Must be signed on the instrument or an attached paper. So if there is no place to make a sign or endorsement, then it can be done on an attached paper. Of course, somebody will have to link that paper to that document, to the negotiable instrument. Full name of the person or thumb impression is required. Thumb impression for those who are not able to sign. Blank endorsements transfer to bearer, which means that if you do not put any conditions or specify who or what conditions that this is being transferred, endorsed, then it is called a blank endorsement and the rights get transferred or the title gets transferred to the bearer of that instrument. However, full endorsements, when you write specifically what the terms and conditions are or who the transferees are, then the full endorsement will specify who the person can encash the negotiable instrument. Must cover the entire instrument. Conditional delivery completes it. You cannot say or endorse that part of this negotiable instrument is for X part of it is to be retained. No, it has to be complete instrument. That is the first one. The second is that conditional delivery. You can put a condition saying that this can be encashed only after so and so date or after so and so goods have happened or some other situation. Who may endorse? The payee makes the first endorsement. Thereafter, any holder can endorse. The maker or drawer can endorse only if in lawful possession, section 51, a payee or endorsee must be the holder to endorse. Endorsement types: blank, general, special, full, partial, restrictive, conditional. Let's understand endorsement a little further. Who may endorse? So this is a very important question. The payee makes the first endorsement. That means the person who actually generates the, who is supposed to receive the document. Thereafter, any holder can endorse it. So which means you have received the goods or you have received the negotiable instrument. First you are the payee. So the first payee, that is the first endorsement, will have to be done by you. The drawer or maker or drawer can endorse only if in lawful possession. That means whoever has made the actual, who has drawn up the negotiable instrument, or the maker can endorse it only if in lawful possession, that possession of that negotiable instrument. A payee or endorsee must be the holder to endorse. That means if the payee, that may, which is you have received this and you have endorsed it further. Now if you have endorsed it further to somebody else, that person should be the payee or the endorsee to hold, must be the holder to endorse. That means he should be the person who is supposed to receive or encash that negotiable instrument. Endorsement types are blank or general, special, full, partial, restrictive, and conditional. What is a blank or general endorsement? Section 16 and section 54 cover this. The endorser signs without naming a payee, making the negotiable instrument transferable by delivery. Special full endorsement, section 16. The endorser names a payee and only the endorsee can transfer the instrument. Let's clearly understand the difference. The difference for a blank and general endorsement is, section 16 and 54 cover this. The endorser signs without naming a payee. That means he doesn't specify to whom he is endorsing that negotiable instrument. Now in this case, as soon as he endorses it and hands it over to somebody, it is transferred by delivery. Section special or full endorsement, section 16 covers this and says that the endorser names a payee and only the endorsee can transfer the instrument. That means you made the document, that means you are the endorser. You have defined a payee, that means who is the receiver. Now if you have decided this, then only the receiver, who, or the payee or the endorsee, both are the same, can further transfer that instrument to somebody else. Conversion of blank endorsements to full, section 49. A blank endorsement instrument can be converted to full endorsement by adding a payee's name. The transferor doesn't incur endorser liabilities. Partial endorsement, section 56, transfers only part of the amount and does not allow negotiation of the instrument. What, can a blank endorsement be converted to full? Yes, it is possible. A blank endorsement can be converted to full endorsement by adding a payee's name. So once you have signed, that is, but without a payee's name, it's a blank, or it's a blank endorsement. Now this blank endorsement can be converted to a full endorsement by just adding the payee's name. In this case, the transferor doesn't incur endorser liabilities, which means the transferor who is doing this act of transferring the document is not incurring the endorser, cannot be held responsible for the endorser's liabilities. Partial endorsement transfers only part of the amount and does not allow negotiation of the instrument. Now, this is a difference that needs to be understood. The document or the instrument is accepted or is considered to have been negotiated, it has to be negotiated in full. If there is a partial negotiation which is not allowed, that means what is happening is only transfers only part of the amount and does not allow negotiation of the instrument. So only a part of it will get transferred. Balance, the negotiation instrument is still considered as not negotiated.